Now, I'm going to present it just a little bit different, I guess, from what normally, I guess, is done out of the pulpit. You know, usually have folks to stand and read the Word of God and give you the title from a text verse. But I'm going to do this just a little bit different this morning. I want you to think. Do some thinking this morning. As you've come to God's house, I want you to set your mind on the things of God for just a little while. And this morning, as I look through some scriptures and through some of the characters of God's Word right here, I want to look at the lewdness of man to begin with, the wickedness of man, in other words. And as I get further on down into this message this morning, I want to show you the only man that God wouldn't save. The only man that God would not save. Not that He couldn't save him, but He wouldn't save him. And so, first of all, this morning, I want you to notice in 1 John 5 and 19, John, you don't have to turn there unless you just particularly want to. But John made this statement some around 2,000 years ago. He said, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." In the day when Noah's flood came, the Bible says that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And Jeremiah, the Bible says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And we know even as we, as God's people, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face," and listen to this, "and turn from their wicked ways." So wickedness has always been a problem in this old world. Wickedness. When Satan deceived Eve and Adam joined her in taking of the fruit in the beginning of this old world right here, it plunged mankind into sin and depravity. And so we've all had a problem with wickedness. But, you know, there's some people in God's Word that stands out to me, I guess, as I got to studying this, more than others. Way back in the beginning, when Adam and Eve, when Eve conceived and brought forth a son into the world, his name was Cain. And the first thing that she said is, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." And I think from things that I've studied, I think what Eve thought was, she was looking back in Genesis 3 and 15 when God promised a seed to come into the world that would be the Savior of the world. I think she thought, "I've gotten the man. I've gotten the one that's going to be the Savior of the world." But you know what Cain was? Cain was a cold-blooded murderer. A cold-blooded killer. We know the story there as they brought their offerings, him and Abel, to the Lord. Cain was a tiller of the ground. And he brought an offering of the fruits of the ground. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. He brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And God accepted Abel's offering, but Cain's offering He rejected. And Cain was wroth. He was very angry. And he rose up and he slew Abel, his brother, one day. God came and He said, "Where's Abel, thy brother?" He said, "I know not." He lied to God. Can I tell you this morning, it won't do you no good to lie to God. You might as well just be honest when the Word of God and the Spirit of God confronts you about something. Just be honest about it. But he was angry. He said, "I know not, am I my brother's keeper?" And as God confronted Cain about his sin, He said, "Thy brother's blood cries out from me to me from the ground." And you'll notice in that passage of Scripture right there, as God confronted Cain, Cain had no remorse. He had no repentance in his heart. Cain was wicked. He was wicked. And the Bible says he went out from the presence of the Lord and he dwelt in the land of Nod. And there ain't no God in Nod. And he brought up a generation of people that knew not the Lord. He was a wicked man, wasn't he? But God would have saved him. God would have saved him if He'd have turned to him. Not only Cain, but in Exodus chapter 1, you'll find the story about the king of Egypt. As the children of Israel were captive there, they began to multiply and grow, and Pharaoh became worried that they were going to overcome him and his kingdom there. And so he said, well, I've got a plan here. And he saw the Hebrew midwife, and he said, when a male baby is born, I want you to kill him. Brutal, isn't it? Heartless, isn't it? And yet at the same time, in our country today, we've killed some 60 plus million babies in the womb. And there are those that would love to go further and even take their life in there when they come out of the womb. We live in a wicked day today, don't we? Wickedness. And so we know the story there is the Hebrew midwives refused to, that Pharaoh turned to his own people and he said to take all the male babies when they're born and cast them into the river. Boy, that's a picture of a wicked man, isn't it? And as I go through these stories right here, I know that I noticed something about many of these characters that I'm mentioning right here. They wanted to gain political power. You think about it. Pharaoh was afraid he's going to lose his throne, his kingship. In Judges chapter number 9, this is a story about a man named Gideon. Most everybody in here has heard the story of Gideon. Gideon had, the Bible says, had many wives. He had a concubine. He had 70 sons by his wives. One son he had by his concubine was the name of Abimelech. And as time processed through this story, Gideon passes away. He was a leader in Israel at the time of Judges. He led the people right. He was a great warrior. He had victories, and for 40 years they had peace there. But Gideon dies, and now there's a vacancy left there, and somebody by the name of Abimelech, one of his sons, wants that position. He wants the power there, and so he gets him a following. And yet when he gathers his 70 brothers together, and he kills every one of them. Kills them. He was a wicked man. To slay those of your own family, those that are your own blood, to kill them. I say he was a wicked man. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, there's a story there about when David was fleeing from Saul, and he wouldn't raise his hand against God's anointed man. David was on the run, and yet he comes to a place of where he's hungry, and his those that are with him are hungry. He goes to Nob to the city of the priests there, and he goes to a priest there by the name of Ahimelech, and he asks bread of him, and the priest gives him bread. And he asks for a weapon, and he acquires the sword of Goliath there. But at the time that he's there was a man there by the name of Doeg. Doeg overheard all this. Doeg was a chief herdsman of Saul's people. And he heard this. And as process of time goes on, David is still on the run, and he flees. And there was a day when Saul gathered all his servants together. And he said, nobody of my servants right here has told me that my son has made a league with David. He said, nobody here feels sorry for me. Doeg was present there that day, and he saw an opportunity to advance himself. And so Doeg, first of all, he tells a lie. He tells Saul that I was over in the tabernacle one day when David came there, and he got bread and he got Goliath's sword, and he also told a lie, kind of like a politician of today would do. He said that Abimelech inquired of the Lord for David. That was a lie. He didn't do that. And so Saul calls for the priest to come before him, and he accuses him of all these things. And Of course, he said, yes, I gave him bread, I gave him the sword of Goliath, but I didn't inquire of the Lord for him. But Saul says, are you going to die, you and your household? And so Saul asked for his footman there that day, fall on the priest and his family there and kill them. They wouldn't do it. They feared the Lord. But Doeg was there. And he tells him to fall on the priest of the Lord. And he slays 85 men of God there that day. 85. And I think he enjoyed it so much, he goes on and he slays the whole city there of the priest of the Lord. The Bible says that he killed women, that he killed children, and even suckling babies that day. That's a wicked man that would do anything to advance himself, gain political power in that day. I'm talking about the lewdness of mankind. You know, man's capable of doing anything. Anything. Adolf Hitler, back in the 1900s, he was a man who gained political power in Germany. He was a man, the Bible or history tells us that through this one man, it led to World War II. Anywhere from 75 to 85 million people died. Some 50, 55 million were civilians. Hitler was so wicked that his own countrymen, if there was somebody there that was physically or mentally handicapped, they used them in the medical experiments and eventually just put them to death to eliminate them. He was a man that had 6 million Jews executed, men, women, and children. Wicked, wicked, wicked. The story through the Bible goes on. Jezebel was wicked. She had the prophets of the Lord killed. And 2 Chronicles, I want to read this to you right here. I want you to turn with me in 2 Chronicles. We'll get into the Word of God. I want you to see something right here. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. I want to read 3 or 4 verses right here, beginning with verse number 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Listen to this verse now. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord hath cast out before the children of Israel. You know what that verse tells me? He took his very own children, sacrificed them to pagan gods by burning them in a fire. How more wicked could a person get than to do something like that? These little old children that came down here a while ago, they're the most precious gift that God will ever give you, mamas and daddies. They're a heritage of the Lord. And God has given you the greatest responsibility to raise your children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I commend you this morning for having them in the house of God. Amen. Do everything you can for your children's soul. Amen. We live in a day when people are doing everything worldly for their children, making sure that they're taken care of for the world and giving no thoughts to the soul. They have a soul. They're going to meet God one day. There's a lot of folks today sacrificing their children to the gods of sports and different things of this old world right here and never giving any thought about where they're going to spend eternity one day. Better get concerned about things that really matter in this old world today. Amen. Eternity is too long to be wrong. And raising your children in the house of God and in a godly home is the most important thing you can do for them. Pray for them. Pray with them. And see that they get God instilled in their lives and have that faith in their heart. In the book of Esther, we see another wicked character. Haman was his name. He came up with a plot to commit genocide against all the Jews there. He built a great gallows there. It turned out, though, God had him hang on his own gallows. Backfired on him. He was a wicked man. It'd take a lot of hatred in a person's heart to want to wipe out an entire people, wouldn't it? Amen. But there's people like that in the world today. Then moving into the New Testament, in Matthew chapter number 2, there's Herod there. When he heard that the king of the Jews had been born, he sent wise men out to seek him. He lied to him. He said, I want to go worship him. You go find him and come back and bring me information. He wasn't interested in worshiping. He was interested in killing the Christ child. The wise men were warned of God not to go back to him, and so they didn't. And so Herod, in his desires to kill the Christ child, he ordered that all children 2 years and under in and around Bethlehem there to be killed. He was a wicked man. Wicked man. Pilate. He gave sentence to the crucifixion of Christ, knowing that Christ was an innocent man, just to keep his position, to keep his power, and to pacify those that wanted to crucify Christ. Even those, when Christ hung upon the cross, those that beat him, those that plucked his beard out, those that spit in his face and beat him to where he didn't even look like a man, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I've gone through the Scripture right here, and I've given you a number of people right here that were just filled with wickedness and wicked ways in their life. But you know something? When Jesus died on Calvary's cross, He died for all those. He gave His life a ransom for all. But I find one in the Word of God that God wouldn't save. I hope I've got your mind thinking. I'm fixing to read you a verse or two right here. And I want you to think. You know, when I was lost, I was a wicked man. And now I look at myself and I examine myself and I judge myself and I say, I ain't good. I'm just saved. I'm just saved by the grace of God. But there was a time in my life when I was lost that I thought God would never save me. I thought to myself, I'm too bad, I'm too wicked, I've gone too far. And I guess the devil was telling me all that. He was a liar. He was a liar. The first Sunday morning in March, 1974, down yonder in Sardis Baptist Church, I said these words under Holy Ghost conviction. I said, Lord, would You have me? Those are the best words I ever said in my life. Because in that very instant, God saved my soul from hell. He wanted me. And I don't care who you are or what you've done, God wants you to be saved. He gave His life for you. Here's the man that God wouldn't save. You think about it now as I read these verses here to you. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Here it is. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. The cup that Jesus took on Calvary's cross, it was God's will to give his own son a ransom for you and I. Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That ought to find a warm place in your heart this morning. That of all the wickedness that's ever been committed throughout all this world, God's able and willing to forgive. But his own son, he delivered him up for us all. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amazing. The Bible says this, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is interested in man's soul, because our soul is going to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. It's that simple. And man has a choice to make. God gave all that he could give. God gave the best that he had, and it was only one that could pay the price and pay the penalty for our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, do you know him? Does Christ live in your heart today? Do you know that you know that you know that you've been born again, that God has saved your soul, that your name is written in heaven? It's one thing just to have a little touch of religion, but it's another thing to know that you've been born again. There's a lot of folks that'll walk in the doors of a church this morning that are lost. They got a lot of religion about them, but they've never been saved. I'm glad I was brought up in an old church where the old man of God still preached the Word of God, and he laid it out straight. A lot of preachers today just want to build a mega church. And they make salvation just come 1, 2, 3 and join me. Preaching easy believism salvation. Salvation is easy. Christ made it easy. But you've got to give your life to him. You've got to trust him. You've got to come to him when he's wooing you to be saved. Jesus was the Lamb of God that paid the price for our sins. He was the one that God delivered up. He was the one that God promised way back in the book of Genesis. The Bible says when the fullness of time was come, God gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his own Son into this world to die on Calvary's cross that we could be called the sons of God. Receive the adoption. This morning, I'm going to ask Sister Amy if you come up here and you sing us a song of invitation this morning. The Bible says in the book of Titus that the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. In other words, the door is open today for a lost person to come. The grace of God, we live in the day and age of grace. But there'll come a day when grace ends. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the acceptable time. The only man God wouldn't save. I'm glad it wasn't me. I'm glad it wasn't me. Because I was a wicked man. Wicked man. God had mercy on me. And he'll have mercy on you this morning if you're lost. You listen. Listen to God today if you're lost. I believe he'll save you if you'll come to him. Our altar is open. Would you stand with us around the house?